The Robber Barons, Jay Gould, Part 4, 1875 to 1879. Gould vs. Huntington. As Jay Gould watched his monopolistic power grow in the West, his growing railroad system needed an egress across the Sierra Passes to the Pacific Ocean. And here, for a long time, only one railroad hurdled California, namely the Central Pacific, which, meeting the UP at Ogden, Utah, constituted the only land route to the sea. Now Gould collided with Huntington and his Sanford Ring, which, quote, owned, end of quote, California. And it was a group as resourceful, pitiless, and treacherous as Gould was. Josephson calls Huntington the Caesar Borgia of California. So we have an interesting meeting, the battle between Mephistopheles and Caesar Borgia. Since 1873, Gould, as you remember, held a large interest in the Texas and Pacific Railroad. Little had been built, but he had the right-of-way to the Pacific Ocean. This would have created three transcontinental railroad lines, the Central Pacific, the Great Northern, and the Texas and Pacific Railroad. The largely unbuilt line Gould intended to use as his western outlet for his Missouri Pacific system. The Texas Pacific had 28 million acres of land grants, but part of that amount would end up being forfeited due to the failure to build the railroad lines. So a construction company was quickly created and controlled by Gould with this company, the Texas Pacific. They then had to make its building contracts. This was set up on the credit mobilier of the Union Pacific model. In the name of Gould, Tom Scott, previously the majority owner of the Texas Pacific, began building the railroad towards the Pacific Ocean. But in Colorado, Huntington occupied the only two passes that crossed the state. During the late 1870s, Gould and Scott headed to Washington, D.C. to ask the government for help, to ask them for subsidies, and to get relief from Huntington's iron grip. A few months later, on May the 3rd, 1878, Huntington writes privately that, you know, the Gould faction was buying Congress. Quote, I offered one member $1,000 cash down and $5,000 when the bill passed and $10,000 in bonds, end of quote. But Huntington believed that Gould had made a terrible mistake because prices began to rise with this bribery competition. The congressmen were very wary after the Union Pacific credit mobilier thing blew up in their faces. So Congress took money from both sides and gave nothing to either Gould or Huntington. Ultimately, the issue was settled amicably between the two master financiers. They, of course, first of all, had a lot in common. And second, subject to common outside dangers. While pretending before Congress and all the world to be fighting each other tooth and nail, the two agreed that Huntington's Southern Pacific system would become Gould's railroad link to the sea. Then for a yearly subsidy, Gould's Pacific Mail steamship line would raise its prices sufficiently to leave the California railroad monopolists undisturbed and supreme in their possessions. So Gould and Huntington arrived secretly at an amazing pact for their mutual interest in self-defense and gaining a virtual monopoly over the railroad traffic of almost one half of the United States. While Huntington and Stanford were happy to control railroad and the California trade, Gould had bigger plans. And those plans did not just deal with railroads. Now Gould headed east and was going to get involved in a new industrial endeavor, the telegraph. So, you know, Gould's, remember Gould's master plan. His master plan was basically to try and get all of these new creations under one, his control, okay? And then he could literally control the whole country's economic fate if he wanted to. And fortunately, that will not quite work out that way, because what is happening, he's running out of people to bilk. And the people that he's going to be using to help him in his final scams are, in essence, going to turn on him and do him in. Now, he's never going to go bankrupt or anything like that. But ultimately, Scott and some of these other people that he's been working with to manipulate things, you'll see this more when we get to the attempt to purchase the Western Union telegraph system. Those people will eventually figure out all of his techniques and use them against him. So that's where we're headed. Now, the sources for this are The Robber Barons by Matthew Josephson, America in the Gilded Age by Cashman, and The Age of Moguls, The Story of Robber Barons and Tycoons by Holbrook. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to purchase a CD or to subscribe to us. Or you could give us just a regular support donation. But it is possible for you to make a monthly installment through your credit card of, you know, a couple of bucks a month if you feel that way. So thank you very much.